let us move forward in our continuum, in our dissertation. Take out your documents. There are some in the back for those that may not have. At least there are some excerpts in the back. Repeat after me, scripture comprehensions of measures. The matrix. Take your Bibles, and this morning I think we're going to go back where we were in Bible study. Wednesday night, Elder William Liberman is our designated reader. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 is what I need to draw some more nuggets out of as we look in the essence of what God did and reserved for us. We're blessed people this morning, those that sit under sound doctrinal teaching. The essence of our lives are not in what we do, but in what God has done. What God accomplished for you before you ever got here. You were saved before you ever got here. You belonged to Him before you ever got here. That is amazing. I mean, every time I think about the fact that many each day, they somehow in a fixation of qualifying for that which we really are. And that's because when we look into life, what we call life, we look into the matrix, we're basically looking at life as though it is actually happening before us. Now, many are going to challenge us on this because that is the traditional consensus and what they call conventional orthodox wisdom, is that we are living life one second at a time. And of course, as we move through these frames, it is so important for us to know that what we are experiencing is really the testimony of what has actually come to pass in God's decree. This is important. We've got an election that's coming up in less than 2 weeks now. And there's so many who are all up in the air, and people out, and politicians are playing all kind of tricks and their lies from both sides. And you know, and it's like we think that this is something that hasn't happened yet. When we look into the scriptures and we exegete and we closely follow the rules of Brahma, we see the scriptures impregnated with aorist tense, completed action, and perfect tense. That is completed action with ongoing effects. And when we do so, it just goes right by us. Why would the scriptures speak of things as though they have already happened if they have not happened? That's like questioning the Holy Spirit's intelligence. Oh, I know why. Because it doesn't align with the things that we see. But what is existing is according to what God in eternity decreed. He declared the only way a thing comes into existence is that God speaks it. And when he speaks it, it exists based on the fact that he spoke it. That's the only way it exists. Now what we see, what we call in life or in time, in the matrix and in these frames, are depictions of testimony, amen, sort of the afterglow, like a movie picture. And each one has a frame. Each frame is like a nanosecond. And so life is really not divided into seconds. It's divided into nanoseconds, as for the matrix. So many frames until in 1 second you may go through hundreds of thousands of frames. He said, "Man, God, Pastor, you're talking way out there." No, no, no. What we want to do is to give an accurate, scripturally accurate assessment of life, so that as we go through the frames, amen, we're confident in the one who has decreed and declared according to what pleases him. Life is not about us. It's about, oh my God, that's the hardest thing, the hardest lesson. Notice in Ephesians chapter 1, all that he did was according to what? The pleasure of what? Our will. No, his will. We weren't even around to have a will. So everything is already done. And so as we approach life this way, the key here is to have confidence in what God has already done. Yes, I better say this for somebody who says, now they're preaching fatalism and they're telling us we don't have to participate and da-da-da-da. You're going to do what you were decreed to do. And so November the 6th, that's Tuesday of next week, go and vote for whom God has already decreed you vote for. That's the end of our political statement from this pulpit. Amen. Because whoever leads this nation for the next 4 years has already been determined in eternity by God. Preacher, you're crazy, and people are going to look at you. They're going to think we're crazy. No, 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 no. If we are to follow the scriptures and be strict constructionists, it's in the Old Testament. Talks about he lifts one up, and then he what? He takes him down. Amen. So, it's God's will, and we are not afraid of God's will. Amen. That's the theme of the book. We have those that may be watching, don't be afraid of God's will. Amen. It's online, amen, as well as you can order it through the website. Now, let's go to, let's turn in our document to page 23. Remember in this section, we were talking about the functions in the matrix and how we should interpret them. And the key here is we are not guided by what we see. We're guided by what God has said. So really, if you really want to know what's going on, we must close our eyes to what's before us as far as interpreting what's there, and look to the Word of God to give us directions and give light and comprehension to what is before us. Now, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Brother Elder, I want you to let's start in 4 this morning. It's laid out before us. The scriptures are telling us don't go with the flow of how things seemingly are structured in the world. Because The real deal is running counter to those things. Everyone has 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, amen? All right, Elder, read that. I want you to read 4. Oh, my God, hallelujah. Let's go 4 through 10. And then we're going to pick out verse 7. As I said, there are some golden nuggets we need to mine out of there. All right, everyone has 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, amen? All right, read a read.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with the 4th verse.
Mm-hmm.
And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom.
Now, understand. And some preachers need to read this. The idea is not to be liked, to be admired. And to be agreed with. And you know, it said was not. And actually, that Greek word there, I better not get into it, but anyway, that Greek word means persuasive. Persuasive. Now, there is the motive of persuading, but persuading to what's written here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And you notice here he says, not with persuading concerning the words of man's wisdom. And if he said that, it must be that man's wisdom is diametrically in opposition to God's wisdom. If somebody come and they said, I really enjoyed it, I'm gratified, and so forth and so on. I'm always wondering, basically, though, what part did you enjoy? What part did you enjoy? What part of it did you enjoy? What part? Was it the joke that was told? Was it the illustration that you resonated with in a physical way?
Right.
Or did we get to the bottom of the matter and see the essence that life is about what God has said? And the essence of your living is your alignment and subjection to those things that God calls you to do. In other words, are you a contributor to life? Are you a component of life? And so these are the things we must understand. All right, keep reading. Oh my God, look at that clock. It always beats me up. Read.
Verse 5. Mm-hmm. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Mm-hmm. All right, keep reading, because we're not going to get where I'm going if you don't. Go ahead.
Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Yet not the wisdom of this world.
Why does he keep saying wisdom not of this world? Not what is about not of this world that we don't understand? Why is Paul why does Paul continue to hammer the wisdom of this world? Why is there opposition to the wisdom of this world? For now, that's a rhetorical question. Keep reading.
Not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught.
That's why. Neo, zilch, zero. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Everything. There are people last night that were walked away and their whole evening was ruined because the team lost. And you know what? A few years, and you don't even remember who competed, who played.
That's right.
Huh? Yeah, sometimes you cannot remember. I mean... And that's the way it is concerning many things that stress us out. We're stressed out over nothing. Oh my God. Read.
Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
My Lord. You touched on that this morning.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
And we're going to exegete that. And you struck another chord this morning. Amen. Huh? Read.
Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
Isn't that something? This is so far-fetched to what conventional preaching and teaching basically conveys. And that is, we are moving through frames where everything is prearranged. God is not daily doing things. All right. Finish that out, and then we'll come back and we'll exegete this verse.
Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. As it is written, I have not seen.
I have not seen.
Nor ear heard.
Nor ear heard.
Neither have entered into the heart of man.
Don't have a clue.
The things which God has prepared for them that love him.
This is what this exercise is about. As we move through the matrix, amen, we have this pre-knowledge, of the pre-input. In our doctrinal conference that's coming up next week, we're going to, in some of the videos we have found, basically that, and which espouses the theme, and it's true that life, or what we call life, is really simulation of that which has been programmed, inputted in. As we act out those things that already are. Preacher, you're crazy. Well, let's let the scripture speak and talk. You know, you have a lot of opinions. Everybody got opinions. At the book signing, a lady came up, she sat down next to me, and I could tell right away she was one of those philosophers. And basically she began almost to challenge things as the way the scriptures laid them out. And basically, you know, talking about, well, why would God do this and that and the other? And, you know, that wouldn't be right. La, 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 la. I said, wait a minute. I did this. I said, you're looking at things as though they are level. Here's you and here's God. I said, that ain't so. This is the way it is, and I can't put enough space between. He is the creator. And then I asked her what she did, and she told me what she did. And I said, now, the things that you produce in your work, does the thing produced have the ability to dictate or even challenge you in relationship to that which you are producing? She's aware now. I said, then that's the way it is between you and God. I said, he has prepared everything, and he did it before either you and I were around to even talk about it with him. I said, if you don't understand that, you're going to always be confused. I'm speaking softly, you know, because you know, there's a tendency to sort of lose patience when, you know, the philosophers and, come on the scene with their music. Basically, she sat there a few minutes and she said, well, I've got to go. I said, well, God bless you. And then it has to be understood that one cannot see what God has not revealed. And the only way you can see that God is pleased to let you in on what's happening. And you notice he says, the thing which God haven't prepared, that is in the aorist tense. Brother Deacon, if you get your daughter, we don't grab all that cocky, we're not going to have time. Yes, amen. That's the aorist tense. Oh, you got it. All right. Aorist indicative. Indicative mood is what? Aorist tense is what? Complete. So that's a completed fact. Next question is when? In eternity. God's not making up things as we go. And so we have to have patience with those that don't know. Verse 10 explains the difference between those called to know and those that will never know. Read it. Verse 10.
Mm-hmm. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit.
You see that them in there? That, you see that's italicized? Right, take right. That out. That's not in there. But God has revealed unto us by what?
By his Spirit.
His Spirit. What?
For the Spirit searcheth all things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the deep things of God.
Now, each one of us have a spirit, and so I know some things. I have communications of things in relationship to my spirit. Mm-hmm. So I know what I'm thinking, but you don't know what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. Somebody say that, but that's good in most cases. That we don't know what each other are thinking. All right. Mm-hmm. It is the same way. He, God, the Holy Spirit, knows the deep things of God. Only the Holy Spirit knows what he is thinking, the deep things of God. But here it says he has revealed them unto us. Oh, my God.
Yes, he has. Amen.
Those puny, depraved creatures. And God is showing us things.
Oh, glory. Thank God.
Yes. Deep things. Eternal things. I think when I go back into Ephesians, before time, before creation, before the creation of the world, before manifestations of all of this, God brings to fruition through his word everything. And then, as it pleases him, he reveals some tidbits to us. You know, see, we know very little of what there is to know. And the one thing that knowledge will actually do for you, it, knowledge teaches you how much you don't know.
I hear you.
We know very little of what there is to know. And so it pleases him to reveal some things. And of course, before we move into this, as we were dealing with this morning, in Sunday school, there is the terminology, the mystery. Everybody say the mystery.
The mystery.
That's the grace covenant.
Thank God.
Information that was hid from ages and God revealed it to the chief sinner, Paul. And it speaks from the vantage point of the heavenlies looking down on life instead of around in life. And so it has advantage over the rest of the Bible. It's like comparing calculus to arithmetic of adding and subtracting. And now you get into derivatives. And amen. We're into the deep stuff. And this is why we continue to say, and it doesn't matter who disagrees, if you do not divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants, what's the obvious results? Confusion. All right, Elder, and everybody, let's go into a bit of exegesis. Verse 7.
Verse 7?
Mm-hmm.
But we speak the word...
Hope, stop. See that? We have what we call a superordinating conjunction. The adversative Allah, which is translated but. Strong adversative. Because this is the difference between the wisdom of the world, which comes to naught, which isn't really about anything. You know, it's like that game that was played last night and that nobody will remember in a few years. And the essence of what is, because what is codifies the essence of truth, because if it is, it endures. It has stickability and stability. And I know I coined some words then. That means it's around. And quote, it ain't going nowhere. Because it is. Rather than passing through the matrix and you're just going through these frames, things that's happening each day. And some of them we say good, some of them we say what's that bad, so forth. So, but the best part about all of them is they come and they go. If it's bad, it's like they said the weather is in Michigan. Just stick around. It'll change.
Oh, Hammer. Oh,
Lord. I like how the King James put it, and it came what?
It came to pass.
It didn't come to stay.
Came to pass.
But, Allah, read.
But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
And we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Here, it is Sophion in Mysterion. Now, most of us think of a mystery as some novel or some... And of course, you know, like some years ago, who shot J.R.? You know that. That's gone. That's past. That's, huh? It's like it never. It didn't really didn't happen. You know. But here we're speaking of something that always was from eternity, and always and is, and always will be. That is the essence. Who we are and what we are as it relates to us being in Christ. Now, that's kind of tough because our consciousness, including mine, you know, we are thoroughly affected by the passing moment and experiences that we see in those moments. And sometimes, y'all gonna call me crazy. I've learned to say, that ain't real. That's not it. This thing is before me, and that's what I see. And I said, that's not it. Experience of God having worked to the end, that as I reflect in testimony, things that I thought, amen, was going to wipe me out, it was nothing but the boogeyman. You know what I mean? I used to tease. I guess I started with the smaller children and the grandchildren. They don't go for that no more, but I used to talk about the little hairy man about that high. To some of them, boy, that fella was real. You get ready to go out the door, they say, I'm going with you. Because as soon as everybody leaves, he shows up. But as we go through these frames, there are reflectors of light into the frame. And depending upon the angle you're looking at, it's what you visualize. But I tell you, for the most part, what you see is not it. Repeat after me, as our aphorism goes around here. It's in God's saying.
In God's saying.
Not what we see.
Not what we see. Not.
Why is it that Paul writes to the Corinthians, we walk by what? And not by sight. That Greek word means appearance. We walk by what God has said.
That's right. Amen.
Not what appears to be.
That's right.
Everybody said a mystery. Now this is the alignment of what is laid out before us as our directives and instructions, a guide, so that we'll know what's really going on. That is not what you think it is. Life is not about us. Life is not about us. It's only about us in relationship to what God's purpose is for us. Again, we're not contributors, we're components of that which is already laid out. All right. Oh my God, look at that clock. Read.
Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
Wait a minute. Where are you reading from? Maybe I've lost you. We speak of God, a wisdom in mystery, having been hidden. You're going back to King James. Now we're through with Brother King James now.
Okay.
He's an okay fellow, but yeah. Amen. We learned a long time ago. And even this interlinear.
Yeah.
He goes off the track. And this is why we have to exegete.
Right.
Now, there are one or two things I'm going to pull out of here. Then we'll go through our reading and we'll go to the home stretch and we'll wind up for the day. How about that? Start all over again in that verse from the interlinear. Now, here at the Grace Gospel Church, for those that are watching by the website, listening by the website, or watching through our webcast on the website, here we utilize the interlinear because at least he has the English words under the Greek words so that his feet are held closer to the fire as far as editorizing. And many times that doesn't stop him.
No, it doesn't.
Like last week, remember when that was a word there and there was no Greek word to underline it. And when that happens, what do? We skip it. Ooh, Pastor. And if I said, mark it out, don't just go by what I say. Mm-hmm. I said, scratch it out. No, you go through it and you check that thing out and then scratch it out.
Amen.
Follow closely here. Read.
1 Corinthians 2, verse 7, and into the Greek.
Mm-hmm.
But we speak of God.
We speak of God. What is of God?
A wisdom in mystery, having been hidden.
The wisdom in mystery. The wisdom is in the mystery. The mystery is the message. I think you that's one of the questions you asked in Sunday school. Define what the mystery is. I want everybody in this congregation to have that document that we have in Sunday school.
Amen.
And it's online for those that are watching. What is the revelation of the mystery? And you know what I told you, Brother Deacon, take your time. If it takes 2-3 years, we don't care. You got to get this to keep from being confused. The average child of God, when you say the mystery, they have no idea what you're talking about. What is the revelation of the mystery? The mystery is the volume of truth God revealed to the Apostle Paul. The deep hidden things of God as it is conveyed here. God's eternal workings. Of having, first of all, placed us into some position in Christ. When? Before the creation of the foundation of the world. So that we don't know who we are. And then those that are in Christ are what? New, right now, you are a new creation.
Glory.
All right, read.
Having been hidden.
Say that again.
Having been hidden.
Once again.
Having been hidden.
That's the part when I talk to those that many times they try to label you to dismiss you. All of those dispensationalists. Come on, let's go to the Word of God. What was hidden? What was hidden until it was revealed to the prophets? Paul said it was hid until it was revealed unto me. Well, Paul is bragging. No, he's not. He's the delivery boy of the paper. He didn't write the paper. He wrote what was revealed to him. It didn't come from him.
No.
Galatians chapter 1. It's not about him.
No.
And what it's talking about, it can't come from Paul because it speaks of those things happened before Paul and anyone else came on the scene. So that we'll know how to really look at life.
Amen.
Finish it up.
Having been hidden, which foreordained God before the...
They don't like that word, predestination, foreordained. Pro or rezo. Pro means what?
Before.
Orizo means what? Set the boundaries. And then when you put that in the aorist tense as a completed action, It means boundaries that were set before. We don't have to argue with anyone and get upset with anyone. Well, I don't buy that. So, first of all, it's not for sale. But anyway, you know, that's what it is. It is.
That's right. Amen.
And then Paul writes to Timothy and said, "Preach these things."
That's right.
They're gonna call you crazy. Preach these things. Preach. They're not gonna like you. Preach these things. Finish it up. Which
ordained God before the ages for glory of us.
Okay. Basically, aeonion, before creation, ages, eternal. In other words, as Paul writes in the 2 Timothy 1 and 9, he talks about God having saved us, called us and saved us. When? Before times. What's the last word there? Aeonion. Eternal. Before times, eternal.
Yes, amen.
So we have to look at this knowledge as all before time. Now we're ready to look into the matrix for a bit.
Huh?
Let's go to page 23. So that as we move through these narrow second frames, we do not take things completely at face value. Somebody said to me, "Oh, they're going to do this in the election and they're going to stop this and so forth." So I said, what neither one of the candidates there said the other night was, if God, what?
Will.
If God has willed. Oh, they won't tell you that. That's a good way to lose the election. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. When you get through that frame, if God has ordained it, it's not in there. So I thought we were going to do that. You couldn't. Why? Because it never was there. You know, like the guy in the Matrix, the movies. Oh, wow. He said, it's not there. That's what I tried to tell you. He said, but I felt it. He said, that was in your mind. We can't feel our way through as we walk by faith, we walk in knowledge. Just one paragraph, and then I'm going to close out for the day as it relates to what we have just said. Second paragraph on page 23. As it relates to the matrix, other figuratively within appreciably plummets into refuse, trash, garbage. And they're only salvageable in the sense of their inevitable morphs that is changing characteristics. You know, that thing goes poof. It disappears. That problem that's beating you up and keeping you from sleeping at night, you know what's going to eventually happen to it? It's going to disappear. Somebody said, I wish you would hurry up. Why? Because it came to pass, and the purpose overrules the process. We get caught up in the process. But the purpose defines the essence of what it is. The process is there for testimony. This realization, are you with me? Are you with me? This realization embraces what is actualized in the physical, secular cosmos. What is actualized in the physical, secular world? What is really, really real? What does it say? Set the way it's written. Nothing. That thing is what God has purposed for it, rather than what it seems to be. If you don't understand that, life is going to drive you crazy. Men of God's people are basket cases. It's like we have this knowledge, and it does not position us any better than one that doesn't know it. That doesn't understand it. Your Social Security is not based upon who's in office. Because more important than Social Security is eternal security. Y'all don't hear me this morning. Your pension, Brother Deacon, your pension? Oh, God, help us. Not dependent upon Ford Motor Company. Or even the United States government. Say, I work for the U.S. government. Hey, where's mighty Rome?
Gone.
Where's Babylon?
Gone.
Where's Persia?
Gone.
You know, it's like that. It goes right by us, doesn't it? Where are you? In Christ. Except somebody's in this body. In Christ. Because at some point, you are no longer manifestly what? In these bodies. Oh, some people get nervous when you start talking like that. All right, let's finish this up. Give me 5 minutes. I'm going to bail out. Accordingly, what actually exists are definitively and externally beyond the confines of the measurably perceived. If that thing can be measured, and Paul speaks in one occasion, the thing we went through that, of the unmeasurable. That's what action is. Not the immeasurably arranged or perceived. Alas, sadly, unfortunately, the quarry, the entities therein, alive or dead, answers far from either. For such merely begins and ends in what is accepted as true as its as true in its reflections. That thing is set up in the processes, and when the purpose of the process is fulfilled, the process is gone. Whatever people were going through in 1750, 1789. Long gone processes and everything concerning it, right? Well, we have some history records, so forth and so on. But for those that were experienced then, where are they? They're no longer in the matrix. And neither are those proceedings as far as that frame. Now, that frame is there with those occurrences. Consciousness, all conscious have moved past that. Those that were there, their conscious moved through it. Amen. We were not yet brought into conscious, so we didn't, our conscious did not experience it. Allegorically speaking, if the central question of humanity's destiny, follow this now, is merely the importance of being in and out of the earth's orb, then the welfare of existence would be inextricably, that is, cannot be unraveled, it's inextricably linked to the end of time, and then it's gone. If that's all life is, if that's all the essence of existence is, when time goes down the tube, everything that's associated with it also goes down the tube. When it bites the dust, everything associated with it. This is why, don't ever place your salvation in time. Where's your salvation? In eternity. Because if your salvation in time, when time bites the dust, your salvation will too. Morph circus. And here's where we'll begin next week. Everybody said morph circus. Round and round. Morph means what? Changes. Turn metamorphosis, which means changes, to change. So morph circus. That thing is forever going round and around. You know, as they say at the carnival, round and around it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. The circles of life, the changes, they include inherent conceptions by simply quantifying in close proximity, and this is what we've laid out today, and distant planes, what are shielded rather than what awaits its assured conclusion. We don't know what it is. We sing a song as I close this morning. I don't know about tomorrow. And we don't. But we do. Because it's all about him. I don't know the details of things, but he has revealed himself to me. I know what life is. My life is Christ. Paul writes, one occasion for me to live is what? Christ. Physically death is what? Profit. That means that my course through the matrix has been completed. And so the essence of this is many things about tomorrow. I don't understand. But I know. Can you say I know? Can you say I know?
I know!
I know! Oh, my time is gone, and I know who holds my hand. Isn't God wonderful?
Yes, he is.
Isn't he magnificent? Isn't he great? Isn't he marvelous? Give him a praise!